This is lesson three in our study. Tonight we're going to be talking about anthropology. Who is man? Where did he come from? What is the meaning and purpose of his existence? And how do we interact with God? Now, I want you to pay particular attention to the phrase sin nature that he's going to be talking about in the film, because I'm going to rebut that afterwards. And so I want you to take particular, pay particular attention to Galatians 5, 16 and 17, and he's going to be covering. It's the one place that we're going to have we're going a different direction than Dr. Tackett and the folks that focus on the family. We love them very much, but there's something that I have to address there. I was going to do that before the film, but I want, if you've been here a few years, you've heard me teach on it, and I think you've probably done your own study, and we're going to discuss that afterwards. Other than that, disagreements and excellent teaching. Pay particular attention at what he says the purpose of man is to be here, and I think it's an excellent teaching. So let's get right to the film, take copious notes, and we'll talk afterwards. Deep subject, this. Who is man, isn't it? I thought it was a wonderful teaching. Could you hand those out, hon? I wanted to bring just a little balance. I won't spend a lot of time on it because I think I did a good job on the notes. But one of the things that Dale said was that he made a statement, for whatever reason, God leaves the sinful nature with us. There couldn't be anything more untrue ever spoken. How many know if you're busy fighting, if your two natures are fighting all the time, you can't ever rule and reign with Christ? If you're struggling with the sinful nature and battling with the sinful nature that has to sin, you understand nature means that's what you do naturally. How many know when you got saved, you no longer have to naturally sin? You can't have both worlds. And it really comes from a Calvinistic worldview. You'll notice that when he drew the lines on the board and said that we were once innocent, then we were fallen, then we became redeemed, he kept going down. Actually, there is a way back up. How many know what it is? How many know what it is? If you don't know what it is, don't raise your hand. If you know what it is, come on. We're a new creation. The Bible says we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But if you believe you have no free will, which basically he kind of confused me because they believe in a free will, but Calvinists believe that we had no choice. We were so bad that we couldn't even make a choice for God. We were just chosen. No matter what, if we don't like it, we're going to be a Christian. And that's the way you have to be if you say that you have a sinful nature and God left the sinful nature with you. But if we rule and reign with Christ, how many know the Bible says that we rule and reign with him? And if we do that, then the old man is dead. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 says, we died with Christ. The old man no longer exists. And if you do a word study on death with Christ, it's not eradicated. It's not just covered. It's eradicated. The old man is dead. How many know you can't deal with the old man because he died on the cross? And that's very important when you talk about Galatians chapter 5. You'll look at the notes there. Galatians 5:17 in the New King James Version says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, the New International Version, 1984 version, says what Dale had up on the board there. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. 27 years later, they got convicted and came out with another version, which says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another so that you are not to do whatever you want. So the 1984 NIV Bible is wrong in its translation of the flesh. The original manuscripts, which the NIV come from, are pockmarked with some very bad definitions of what the original language had talked about. Webster's dictionary defines flesh as the carnal state of unrenewed man. Strong's concordance, flesh is sarx, the soft substance of the living body which covers the bones and is permeated with blood of both man and beast. The body of man used of natural or physical origin, generation, or relationship. So the translation sinful nature is unfortunate and gives the impression that we are occupied by two natures. A spiritual schizophrenia is what happens. Nothing could be further from the truth, as I said. Dr. Tackett teaches that when Christ redeemed us, he let the sinful nature within us, but he gives no explanation as to why he would do that. And he said himself, I don't know why he did that, but he left the sinful nature with us. What a cruel thing for God to do, to leave the sinful nature in us. He came to die for that. Our mind, will, and emotions make up the flesh, as I said there, and you can read that when you get home, and we'll discuss it if you have any questions. But I just wanted to say that the teaching was excellent. But if you begin to deal with the sinful nature and you're battling those two natures, you're never going to get anywhere. And that's sadly why the church is where we're at, because we believe we have to sin. That's all you can do is change your behavior. You're a very good point. You can't change the institute. Everybody hear what he said? You have behavior modification is all you can do. You just act differently outside, but you're inside. If I walk up and punch Sean in the nose, and Sean says, God bless you, Pastor Rick, hand me a hanky, and he wipes the blood off his nose, but inside he's stabbing me with a knife, how many know he's sinned? The outward man has done the right thing, but the inward man has said, I want to kill that guy. Come on, somebody. But Christ came to die for the sinful nature. You can't. And then Romans 7 has been the biggest argument in church theology for years, for hundreds of years. The big struggle is Romans 7 written about the pre-Christ man or the post-Christ man? Oh, the evil desire. I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. Well, if you read it in context, Romans chapter 6 says, we've died with Christ. Reckon yourself also dead to sin and alive to God. Come on, somebody. And then Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh. Now, the NIV says not according to the sinful nature, but not according to the flesh, but to the Spirit. So you can't say that Romans 7 is the post-Christ man. Romans 7 is describing the struggle that a man has when he comes to Christ. And here's the caveat. If a sinner makes a New Year's resolution and says, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to be a good man. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to kick the dog. I'm not going to gamble. I'm not going to do drugs. How many know it doesn't last very long? Because he's struggling with his nature. He has to sin. He has no choice. How many know, do you remember when we had to sin? We just had no choice. I was the chief of sinners, by the way. I did a good job. Nobody had to teach me to sin. Come on, someone. Here's the thing. Now we're saved, and the old nature is dead. We're struggling with our flesh. And we always have a choice. Here's what the Bible says. No temptation has come upon you, but what such is common to man. In the way of temptation, I've given you a way of escape. It doesn't mean we won't face sin. We won't face the idea, hey, I want to, you know, kick the dog or do drugs or gamble or whatever. We're still faced with that sin, but it's through the flesh. It's through our senses. It's what we're looking at. If I'm looking at the world and doing what the world does, I fall in sin. But I have a choice. I can walk away from that. I can rebuke it. Whatever I bind on earth, whatever I loose on earth. Any questions? Does that make sense to you? And I just wanted to drive that home. I'm sorry I'm spending a little bit of time on that, but that's one of my ballywicks. I just don't like the idea that that kind of bad teaching is throughout the body of Christ, that we'll never be victorious on this earth. Some statements that he made, God places his spirit, but we do not change. We always struggle the rest of our life because we have the sinful nature within us. How many know? He who began a good work in us shall... Not very good work if you got to fight the rest of your life, your sinful nature. Christ wasted his time dying on the cross. Very good. Romans, you're quoting Romans 6, yeah. Very good. So anyway, any other statements, questions about that? Everybody okay? Still like me? Yeah. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. We're no longer what the world says we are, we're only what he says we are. I repeat that to myself every day because the devil wants to tell me that nothing's ever changed in my life, even after 38 years of serving Christ. Because he don't know what else to do, so he wants to confuse us. And the minute we come in agreement with him, we've lost. So this makes a lot of prisoners, and I'm here to make sure the captives remain free. Amen. He came to set the captives free. People who claim, one of the questions here in question one, people who claim that they are mere accidents of biology still seem driven to find purpose and meaning. What keeps them from living according to their beliefs? What keeps someone from living according to their beliefs? Come on, somebody. The sin nature. Because they can believe they can do things, but how many know the sin nature will keep them doing the evil? Why is suicide, why do you think suicide's common today? Say that louder, please. Yeah, if there's no hope, there's no reason to be good, and there's no reason to pursue life. By the way, you're hearing all the screaming back there. Brad got a call today. One of the kids that came on Saturday said, "Hey, get ready. I'm bringing 10 of my friends tonight." So he brought 10 of his friends. There's 10 new people just showed up in the youth group. So that's pretty neat, isn't it? And he said, "Next week I'm going to bring 8 or 10 more." So we have a little evangelist in the youth group. So it's going to get loud, but that's okay. That's why we have doors. In truth number two, supernatural man, what makes man unique in the universe? Why are we unique? We're the only ones made in the image of God. I mean, no, we have everyone is born with a measure of faith. God's given us faith to believe there's something outside of us. Someone said there's no atheist in the foxhole. Atheists are atheists until they get ready to die. And most of them will cry out to God, maybe at a too late state. What evidence can you find that people have bought the concept of man's innocent? Why do you believe the world thinks men are born innocent, that there's no wrong in them? Why do you think they bought that lie? License? Why else? Because if man can't do what he wants, somebody must be setting the rules. But if you believe there's no God, it's right. You're not accountable to anybody. If you just were an accident of some primal ooze, you know, we just came on the earth. We live like we want. The what? The goo man, yeah. It's so very important to understand what Christ really came to do. When he came to set us free, his original plan, God's original plan, was what? That man would rule and reign and have authority on the earth. When they made that fatal mistake of saying, has God really said, saw the fruit, saw that it was good to eat, saw that it would make them wise, it all fell apart. So God's point for sending his son was to redeem us here on this earth, not in the sweet by and by, so we sit on a cloud somewhere playing a harp and eating manna. No, it's ruling and reigning now. It's ruling and reigning now. And the sooner we do it, the better, because right now the world's in such a bad way. Are you the person you want to be? You know, the only thing that's stopping you from being the person you want to be? Everybody take their finger and go right like this. You can be what you want to be because God made you free. He who the Son makes free, talked about that on Sunday. He who the Son makes free is free indeed. So we're free to be anything we want to be. Everybody believe that? This battle that rages within us is a battle for our mind. This is where the battle is, right here between our ears. You know, most people never fight demons. They fight their mind. It's demonic, but they never really fight demons. I mean, we say we're going to go out and fight the demonic and the principalities and powers. Most people never get a chance to do that because they're fighting their thoughts. But we as Christians, who is man? We're made in the image of God. God has totally redeemed us. And he set us in his place. He said, we are seated. If you read Ephesians chapter 1, we're seated in heavenly places. Our place is with him. It struck me so clearly when he drew that line and said, is there any way back there? Instantly I said, yes, sir, there is a way back there. It's through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit involves us. The exchange life happened at the cross. Christ came and died for us and brought us to his side. And he lives in us. Amen? Sweet victory. Sweet victory. Did any questions come up? Did you write anything down? Or did you have any statements you wanted to make? Everybody's so quiet. Good series, right? Excellent. Make you think a lot. By the way, Life at the Bottom, that he mentioned a couple of times, I suggest you get the book. It's an excellent book. It's written by an unbeliever. He might have gotten saved after the book. Life at the Bottom. You can get it on Kindle for $3.99. I think the book on Amazon is $10. But it's worth the read. It's worth the read. I don't know. I forgot. I didn't write down the name. I have the book in my library. But if you put Life in the Bottom, if you put it in Amazon, it'll come right up. Questions? Comments? Everybody doing okay? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your promises that are yes and amen in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you're getting us to a place where we're actually believing what you set out to do, you're going to do. God, we are so in need of a generation that has a Christian worldview. What you really did, the only way, the super plan, was not to come and make us better, but to kill us. You came and gave us new lives. We're no longer the old man. We're no longer the old person. We're new creations in you, God. And Father, we have the power of attorney. We have the right to use your name, Jesus. We have the right to apply your blood, Jesus, in each and every situation. And we're faced with a world. God, sometimes I wake up and I wonder, did I wake up in an alternate universe? But Lord, this is the world that you birthed us in. And as we've often prayed, God, we realize that you put us here, strategically placed us here for this time and this place. So you gave us all the tools for us to be victorious. I pray victory on each and every one, God, that we would walk according to your likeness and after your image, God, that we would speak only what you would speak in this situation, God. Lord, really teach us to love our enemies. There's so many reasons to hate people these days. We want to strike out and vehemently cry out about the wrong that's going on in the world. But you said to bless those that curse us, to love those that hate us. God, that's who we are. Who is man? We're made after your own image. You gave us Holy Spirit. You gave us the fruit. You gave us the gifts. You gave us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. So, Lord, let us walk out of here in victory with our heads held high, knowing that we've been called for this hour. Lord, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We have intercessory prayer tomorrow night at my house at 6:30. And then Sunday morning, I'll see you at one of those meetings.